Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, July 20th. I'm Ray Graff. There's an optimistic outlook on the job market these days, with unemployment rates at lower levels. That's great news for those of us who are looking for jobs, but that's only half the story of getting a job. We have a panel of career counselors here in the studio to answer your questions about finding and landing that career job. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. And there are other ways you can contact the show, and I will tell you about those when we begin the show, and that happens right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says the unemployment rate in the country is hovering around 5%, currently at 4.9. That's roughly half of what it was 6 years ago during the Great Recession. So we're doing pretty well right now. The jobs, for the most part, are out there. You just got to get them. That's where our career panel comes in. We have Bob Frederick, Director of Career and Transfer Services at Schenectady Community College, and Anita DeCiani-Brown, College-Wide Career Development Coordinator at SUNY Empire State College, here to answer your questions about becoming and staying relevant in today's turbulent global economy. You got a resume you need updating, preparing for that interview, looking for a new job? Give us a call now, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop or email voxpop@wamc.org. I guess Facebook, if you wish, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Bob and Anita, welcome to the show.
It's good to be back, Ray.
It's been a while, Bob.
It's been a long time, but it's wonderful to be back, and I love the studio. It's beautiful.
You like the new digs here?
Absolutely.
No, fair enough. Now, Anita, this is your first show.
It is. So thank you for the invite.
You're petrified.
I am.
Well, don't be petrified, for Pete's sake. Now, I understand that college-wide, the word has gone out that you'll be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be no heckling at all, right?
I hope not.
Okay, well, the number to heckle is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. So, Bob Frederick, you know, it's probably been, what, a year or two since you've been on the program? A couple years?
A few years now, yeah.
So things maybe a little better in the job market nowadays?
Absolutely.
How is the landscape changing?
I can't tell you how many employers that are calling us today and over the last 6 months to 8 months compared to years ago that there's a lot of frustration, there's a lot of anguish, a lot of anxiety about not finding those qualified candidates that they used to have an easier time with. So with the lower unemployment, people that might have been underemployed a little while ago now are starting to pick up those types of opportunities to be more fully employed. It's tough on the employers right now.
It's still not a buyer's market as far as seeking a job. You still have to be perhaps not as picky as you'd like when taking a job.
Yeah, I with the people that I speak with, I have to agree with what Bob said, but also it's finding the right fit. So an employer is looking for, you know, certainly somebody with experience. They are being a lot more selective, and I think that a lot of the job seekers are being a lot more selective too, because they don't want to go from one place to another to find the opportunity. They want to stay somewhere a little bit longer.
Anita DeCiani-Brown is our guest, as well as Bob Frederick. We talk careers and jobs in general here on today's Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. So the employers perhaps are becoming more discerning. Has this new age, in other words, when I was looking for a job 100 years ago in radio, you got radio and records, and you looked in radio and records and you found, okay, there's a job in Peoria, maybe I'm a good fit for that. You send a tape and you send a resume. Now, and in the general job market, the non-radio market, it seems like there are so many ways to get your resume out there and to find out about jobs. It can be monumentally confusing, I would think.
It is, and I think that a lot of it has to do, again, I'm going to go back with talking about the right fit, and knowing what it is as a job seeker, what you are looking for, and then comparing yourself to the different types of positions that are relevant to that area. People are being a lot more socially conscious and deciding, you know, they may want to work for an organization because of what they stand for or not work for that organization. They are looking at they should be looking at how their skill sets align with the positions that are out there. And you know, even the way you present yourself 15, 20 years ago, you were pretty much listing a laundry list of your job duties, where today you are really upping and highlighting what you've done. You're adding metrics to your resume.
Metrics, science, metrics. Has all of this become too complicated? At the end of the day, doesn't it come down to whether you give that special warm and fuzzy feeling to the potential employer? Isn't it the same as it was 100 years ago? Or has science destroyed, like so many other things, destroyed it?
I think technology and data-driven processes have realigned how they find the people, at least in the beginning points, to get to the warm and fuzzy eventually. But it's a much more strategic approach that employers are using, as well as candidates. And one of the surveys that I was reviewing is that candidates use up to 18 touch points or sources to reach out and find opportunities. Employers, in the same respect, are using anywhere from 3 to 15 points of trying to source candidates. Mm-hmm. So, like you were saying in older days,
my day,
your day, God bless you, it was easier to kind of connect. And now with increased technology and different portals to that communication, that's why people are getting frustrated.
Okay. And so the frustration, is it a symptom of a system now that is too picky on the employer side and the person looking for a job? In other words, in the old days, maybe somebody give you a chance. Now, you don't have this, 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 and this, and I'm looking at all these data points, and we're running, what did you say, a matrix?
Well, the metrics is really, you're putting numbers to your personal story. So, one of the things that I've used in many examples with the people that I've worked with, I can say that I'm a grant writer, or I can say that I'm a grant writer that was awarded 3 grants amounting to $75,000. You're saying the same thing, but anybody can just put on their resume that they're a grant writer.
Right, I could put I'm an astronaut on my resume.
But when you put the data there, they have an idea of, okay, this person does have the experience with writing grants. They have been awarded the grants. And it could be that same person, but if I'm looking at the resume, I'm going to want to speak to the person that added more data there so I can have a picture, a conception of what they're capable of doing.
But with so much data now, there's got to be that fine line when you're preparing your presentation of yourself to give to a prospective employer that I have too much information. I have too much stuff out there.
That's why, like Shark Tank, if anybody watches that, you got to do your research on the people you're talking to in order to condense your message and the types of data that you're going to bring to the table in order to convince them that you have the value that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. It is a career forum here on VoxPod. Haven't done one of these in a while. Anita DeCiani-Brown, who is College-Wide Career Development Coordinator at SUNY Empire State College, is here. And we welcome back Bob Frederick after a reasonable hiatus, Director of Career and Transfer Services at Schenectady County Community College. Let's go to the phones and grab a call or two before the first break. Jake in Niskayuna. Jake, you're on.
Hi. So I was wondering, I work 2 gigs right now in journalism. I'm going to be a senior in college at Wesleyan University, Connecticut. So one is I work at the Albany Times Union a couple days a week as a reporter. That's unpaid. And then I work as a paid researcher for Mark Singer at The New Yorker intermittently for various projects he has. The latest was a book on Donald Trump that just came out.
Oh, must be nice.
Don't worry how to get more full-time work, basically, and how to really brand myself in the new media market.
Well, in journalism, you better get the reality check early, like you're already doing, is you're going to be a freelancer, most likely, or, the other types of opportunities within journalism, if it's going to be in, major metro and media outlets that are going to allow you to do that. But, the freelance, what you're doing right now is very typical for anybody in writing. And I would say learn from that and grow from that And then continue to say yes to opportunities that eventually many times will turn into those full-time gigs that you're looking for, that especially after your education is completed and that you're, you know, more solid on your ground and your feet in regards to moving forward, those opportunities are going to come. But I'd start to get in, I'd get some, you know, be comfortable with the short-term gigs.
You know, that's a great point. And again, I hate to sound like the doddering old man that I truly am, but back in the day, and especially in radio or TV or whatever, you took whatever job. You worked midnight to six. You worked Christmas. You worked. You did whatever you could to get in. And one of the things I know you two will talk about is how you can take that job to build that experience that you need that isn't going to pay the rent, that is not going to do it for you. In radio, you just did it. You had, okay, it's $5 an hour. It's 12 o'clock in the morning until 6 a.m. You did it. But how does one do that these days? I mean, the economy is much worse than it was.
Well, there are many things. You know, if somebody was still a student, for example, you know, I work with a lot of adult students, and an internship is not outside of the possibility. You know, but there's other ways that somebody can go about getting experience, because, you know, while maybe getting a position to pay the bills, and then, you know, what is outside of that? Can they look within their own organization? Can they become more involved in the organization to sort of move up, or, you know, move out or move within the and take on more responsibilities? There's also, you know, becoming involved with not-for-profits and volunteer work, because that also helps build skills, and that's what employers are looking for. They're looking for people that have the skill sets that match the positions that they're posting.
We are joined today by Bob Frederick, Director of Career and Transfer Services at Schenectady Community College, and Anita DeCiani-Brown of Empire State College. We'll take a short break here. Mr. Zach, the engineer, who has worked his way up now to a senior engineering position, and he doesn't even wear a tie. It's amazing. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from the Lake George Land Conservancy, Fulton Landing, New York. Working to permanently preserve the natural, scenic, and recreational resources of the Lake George region since 1988, lglc.org. Interactive Media Consulting, Saratoga Springs, New York. Providing logo and print design, web development, and digital marketing throughout the capital region and beyond. Marketing creative and business ideas since 1996. imediaconsult.com. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine. Exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames, where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com. TJ's Taylor Rental and Party Plus, owners Jim and Tamara Falcone, providing tool and equipment rentals, tents, bounce houses, water slides, and party supplies for events. TJ'sTaylorRental.com. Whitney's Farm Market and Country Gardens, Cheshire. Featuring We Plan, You Plant garden design service with on-site selection of nursery stock, plus tree, shrub, and perennial garden installation, whitneysfarm.com. And the Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York, open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 5, hydecollection.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It's a career forum today. We're joined by Anita DeCiani-Brown of SUNY Empire State College and Bob Frederick of Schenectady County Community College. And again, the number is 800-348-2551. And Bob, you wanted to make one last point regarding Jake's question.
Yeah, so Jake, as a senior in college, I would suggest taking advantage of professional associations related to your field of study. Most students don't take advantage of that, and you'll get a much greater reduced charge to be a college student member or an associate member. You can find them by Googling or talking to professionals that are in fields that you're related to see what types of organizations they belong to, or go on LinkedIn and look at other journalism people or people in media or wherever you want to be and see what associations they belong to. And the big part of that is not just, join it, but then become active in it. Join a committee, which you can do as a college or associate member. You can get involved with their conferences. You could sign up to be on as the registration chairperson, or at least to serve as to check in people and network and use that. And that was one of the main reasons I got my full-time gig after previous to SCCC was my professional associations and my involvement in it.
But aren't professional associations a little difficult for somebody who is really just starting out?
Hey, yeah. He has two gigs. He's working the TU.
Well, you make a
point.
And
it sounds like he already has the communication skills and maybe the confidence to get out there and get out of your box and do something different.
It's a cutthroat biz. It is, especially journalism, any media at all. And those who have the gigs tend to be very protective of those gigs. So don't look for a lot of friendly faces. That
right,
would be
but
my
I still
advice.
Think that networking is very important.
Yeah.
And the other part about becoming involved in the organizations is they offer professional development opportunities. And, you know, maybe somebody, they may go to a local chapter, but they may be looking to move. So they can put them into connection with somebody else.
We're joined today by Anita DeCiani-Brown and Bob Frederick. And let's go back to the phones. And Christine in Albany. Christine, you're on.
Hi. Ironically, I'm actually on my way to a job interview right now.
Good luck.
I left. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I said good luck.
Oh, thank you. I actually recently left my position in Connecticut. I had relocated to Connecticut from Albany, New York, just because I find that the money outside of the capital region is significantly better over the state borders, and I don't really quite know why. But my question for you guys today is actually, so I'm thinking about a career switch, and I wonder what tools or resources there are available to a person who's thinking about switching careers to find what companies there are in the capital region that
Okay. Well, you're on speakerphone, Christine, but you said you're thinking of a career switch and you're wondering what resources are out there. I guess you'd have to be a little more specific as to what career you're switching to.
I mean, I guess that's kind of part of my question is I'm not really sure what I want to do from here, but I wonder, you know, what exploratory resources are there to find out what would be a good fit? What do my skills match to? And what would pay a reasonable wage in the capital region?
Well, there is a lot of homework that's going to be involved in this assignment. So one of the things that I would recommend you do is do some self-assessments. There are a lot of free versions that are available, and they can certainly help with looking at your the skill sets that are transferable. To understand the type of organizations and workplace environments that you are looking to go to. And then once you've sort of established yourself there, start looking at some of the positions that could align. ONET is an online resource through the federal jobs or the Federal Department of Labor.
ONET.
And you can put skill sets in there. You can do the different assessments and then see what types of positions you would be a match for. And then the next step would be looking at local job banks, job data banks, and seeing what positions are in the local region or to whatever area you're looking to move to and apply for those.
Christine, did you go to a college in the capital region?
No, I went to Oneonta.
And graduated from Oneonta?
Correct.
Okay, so you still can use Oneonta as an alumnus and talk to their career office to see if there's guidance that you could receive virtually or over the phone or through Skype or other mechanisms to help you in that either the assessment process or in regards to the career switch. And for all of those that are in that process, I mean, the statistics really show, and Christine, you're probably not in this age group, but even for people 45 to 65 looking to make a career change, 82% of those workers wanted to make a career switch pulled it off successfully.
Wow.
And that's, you know, a lot of people are fearful of that process, and it's understandable, but at the same time, there's a lot of success for those that prepare for it correctly. There's also career coaches out there that you can use. You can search them, again, online or talk to people that you're comfortable with and might have connections, or local colleges in your in the capital region might also be able to support you in some of the other regional resources that are in the area if you're local. Actually, one other thing in regard, public libraries are great for people looking to switch careers or receive free coaching. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the public libraries offer free career coaching.
That's right. Great.
Hey, Christine, yeah, good luck.
One of the things.
Well, go ahead.
Thank you so much. You
can follow up real quick. Go ahead.
I was just going to say one of the things that definitely intimidates me is I am potentially leaving my career mid-career, and I'm in upper management at this point, and just looking at other careers that I might be interested in, it's kind of intimidating not having any experience in anything else. So it's kind of nice to have some tools to reach to.
It's quite a leap.
Yeah, but the thing that you could look at is while you are going from one career to another, you're bringing skill sets. So, you know, maybe in this next move, there may be things that you really, really want to do that you're very passionate about, and that may be more of a draw for you than maybe what you're doing now.
Yeah, what a lot of people do, just like entrepreneurs looking to start their own business, career changers many times, if you have the time or if you can make the time, especially with busy families having multiple responsibilities, is find side projects that actually get you into a different field or developing a different skill. So you're doing that on the side while you're making your income in the regular full-time position, and you're starting to establish new contacts and skill sets to make the leap. So just like me, I started a side business back in 2005, Employee Development Associates, and I've been doing that on the side ever since. And I'll be retiring in August, and at the end of August.
Oh, congrats.
To take it full-time. And I started a book a long time ago, and I want to finish it. So there's all of us are sometimes thinking about other things. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's natural. And so I think if you can start taking small steps, just like Jake and maybe a professional association, builds side skills and connections.
The number to call here is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Bob Frederick and Anita DeCiani-Brown. It's Career Forum today. Christine's call was, I found it interesting, because here is somebody who was successful, is successful in a career, wants to try a different career, but really doesn't have an inkling of what that career is. I wonder, in your line of work and seeing so many people who are changing careers, how many people are successful in what they do and then just say, gosh, I'd like to try something, but I don't know what it is. I can see leaving one career and say, gosh, you know, I really want to be an astronaut. I want to give it a shot. But if you have no idea, is that a common situation?
Well, SUNY Empire is a college that mainly has adult students, and that is the not clientele, but that's the breadth of the students that I work with. And there are, you know, they come to us for many reasons. Some may be at one point in their career and they can't move any further. And then there are others that are looking to go from one career to another. I worked with a student last year who had her own business for 30 years and then decided, okay, this is enough. I now want to go into a different field, and she wanted to go into human resources.
But she knew what she wanted to do. This is my point. How many people who are successful in what they do just say, well, I don't want to do this. I don't know what I want to do, but I want to change careers.
At the point in time that I started working with her, she was a little more in the decision mode. But before that, it was deciding, this isn't what I want to do anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in my own business. I want to grow a little bit more. And I think that it really is trying to understand, you know, what is it that drives you? I know that's what it was with me.
I think that's a great point. It's what drives you. But we all want something else. You know, we all eventually get used to what we have, and we start as human beings growing to want something else, and we're driven that way. And I think many times people think, oh, it's about a career, and it's not necessarily. Mm-hmm. It might be I need more recognition, or I wish to feel like I'm contributing in a different way. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you have to try to figure out what is that contribution that you're really passionate or eager about, and how maybe a career or a volunteer experience mm-hmm. or a family or something else fills that void.
Okay, so part of the detective work that you two do, it's like psychologist, right?
Oh, there's a lot of psychology.
Absolutely. It is conversation. You know, somebody can't just come to me and say, for example, here, would you look at my resume? Because there's a lot of conversation that has to go into, well, what is it that you want to do? And let's talk about that first. And let me understand you before I can start addressing what's on your resume, because I can't be as effective if I just look at somebody's resume and say, okay, you know, just change this word around, change that word around, because you have to tailor it to what you want to do.
But in the course of that psychological discovery phase, do you oftentimes or even once in a while come across someone who has a completely unrealistic look? Ray comes to you and says, you know, I've been in radio for 30 years. I've had it. I want to be a professional athlete. You say, well, Ray, you're 52, you're out of shape, you can't run a mile without dropping dead. I mean, aren't there people who are just not suited for things that they want to do?
Well, my question would be, why would you like to be a professional athlete? And then it goes from there.
For the babes and the cars, clearly, and the endorsement deals.
You've already got that. Come on.
All right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's through the discussion. And just like you were saying to us as we talk on the radio, it's just a discussion. Mm-hmm. And through discussion and deeper discussion is where you come out with more important aha moments many times. And that's what we our laser questioning that we do. It's not therapy. We use probably a coaching model or sometimes you can call it counseling or guidance. But there's simple questions that can help people get to stronger truths that may or may not lead to a career change.
Mm-hmm. It feels like therapy to me. I'm more, more relaxed than ever. All right, before we get back to the phones, this one came in via email from Jen, who just wants a clarification on OneNet. How is the site spelled?
It's ONET.
ONET. O-N-E-T?
It's, yes.
Dot.
And it's...
Just Google ONET, and it'll be the first thing that comes up.
ONET.
Yep. ONET.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that email, Jen. Number is 800-348-2551. Let's go to Mary in Newburgh. Mary, you're on.
Hi. Just have a quick question about LinkedIn that's on my phone, my cell phone. I don't know if it's valuable or if it's just a, you know, you beat your own drum and you put down all kinds of things and you try to get people to reference you for something you've done that pleased them, but I haven't become a LinkedIn member, but I'm thinking, is it worthwhile to put all that resume information out about yourself and then not really get anywhere?
Do you need to get anywhere?
Does it matter?
Well, let's find out from the experts, because I have questions myself, Mary, and let's just start with Anita here.
Well, from my perspective, LinkedIn is a very valuable tool. A lot of employers use that to source their potential employees. Mm-hmm. It is a way to network with people and keep your connections, because a job search, networking is, I believe the last article I read, between 80 and 85% of job opportunities are obtained through networking. So making sure that you use that as a networking tool. It is also a way that you can keep current with your industry and types of jobs that you may be interested in, because you could join different groups that are in there. It's much more than a, it's not a Facebook. It is a professional site. There are job opportunities that you can pursue on there, certainly listing your skills. And you can use, what happens is when you list your different skill sets, the system will match you with different job opportunities as they become available, and you can set your site to say, okay, email me job opportunities, and that'll show up as well. So there's many different functions for LinkedIn, and it's something that I highly recommend.
Yeah, it's
okay. Cool.
Go ahead, Mary.
Does it cost? I mean, is there a cost associated with doing it?
There may be a premium level, but it's basically you can just sign up.
Yeah, I'd use the free. It's free right off the bat, so I'd use it. And it is one of the stronger career resource tools if you want to think of it that way. So if you don't know how to use your journalism major, let's just say, you could type in and you wanted to stay in the Albany region. you could type in journalism in Albany and you start to see professionals that have backgrounds there. What are they doing? What type of titles mm-hmm. do they have? And how did their experience get to where they are now? So it's a wonderful way of seeing how people use the grapevine of a career pathing that always didn't go in a straight line and see how mm-hmm. people got to where they are today and it's and what associations they belong to, what type of companies they follow, mm-hmm. what type of groups do they belong to, where do they go to their school.
Right, and that's a way to connect with alumni that you may not be familiar with within your at your own college. And seeing if they have either working at a particular company that you might be interested in or within a particular field.
Mary, thanks a lot for the call. You know, LinkedIn to me probably won't be valuable until I'm out of work. I keep it going and I keep the connections going. But at this point, it's just sort of busy work. If you're in a long-term career, I don't think it's valuable until you need to use it for something like that.
Well, I find a lot of research that I'll use when preparing for a seminar or a presentation or when I go in and I'm speaking with my clients, the students, the alumni I work with, or certain trends that I see through information coming through LinkedIn actually allows me to then talk to professors or deans or other people to say, you know, should we look at this trend a little bit? How is it coming through in the greater Capital Region? Mm. So I think as an information resource tool, I think it is a really a quality tool still.
And I know that employers are using it as outreach.
Yeah.
I had been at my previous employer for almost 24 years. And in the last couple of years, which is when I really started beefing up my LinkedIn profile a little bit more, there were three different employers that reached out to me.
Wow.
As a result of
Absolutely.
What I had added.
We are joined today by Anita DeCiani-Brown, College-Wide Career Development Coordinator at SUNY Empire State College, and Bob Frederick, Director of Career and Transfer Services at Schenectady County Community College. It's Vox Pop. Our number is 800-348-2551. And we'll take a break and then hit the home stretch.
Support for WAMC comes from Union Gables Mansion Inn, Saratoga Springs, a historic bed and breakfast featuring heated pool, rose gardens, fountains, sitting areas, 1.5 blocks from the Saratoga racetrack. UnionGables.com. Lorac, serving the arts community year-round in downtown Glens Falls since 1972, with gallery exhibits and gift shop featuring handmade items by regional artists, larac.org. George Heigl, Cowan's representative, available for estate, trust, and full collection evaluations and consultations in the Capital Region, 518-396-7974. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, maintaining 32 miles of trails throughout Lake George region for hiking, birding, and outdoor exploration. HikeLakeGeorge.com. MBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses. NBTBank.com. And Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting Circus Circus, the Beechnut Miniature Circus Exhibition, alongside paintings by John Corbino, Norman Rockwell, and more. ArkellMuseum.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551. The number, Ray Graff here, joined today by Anita DeCiani-Brown and Bob Frederick. It's a career forum. And Anita, before we get to the calls, you wanted to make one last point about LinkedIn.
Yeah, my one bit of advice that I'd like to add for anybody that may be currently employed and updating their LinkedIn, it would probably be a wise thing to turn off notifications so you can make changes to your LinkedIn account and then turn them back on, because if not, it may be a red flag to your employer if you're connected with them.
Is the employer watching that closely?
It depends.
Very interesting. Let's go back to the phones. Mark in Schoharie. Mark, you're on.
Hi. I'm calling for my son, who's currently overseas. He's been in China for 5 years teaching English to Chinese. He's totally fluent in Chinese and Chinese culture, and his background was in computer media. But he's going to be coming back to this country very shortly, and he's looking for maybe a new career direction. I was wondering if you had any suggestions.
All right. Bob?
Sure. I mean, it's great that he has that language. He's far beyond most people in the world, or at least the U.S. definitely, having a multiple language. And Chinese is probably at least second or third on the list of value, especially in the U.S. Or out the world. I mean, having that teaching background is hugely important because that just shows his ability to communicate, instruct, training, building relationships, you know, organizational skills and so on. And doing it in a different culture is great, too. So the diversity and being able to adapt in those environments are great transferable skills. And then with his computer media background, tagging that with technology and greater communication, I think there's opportunities there that could be in a wide range of areas. It's not to say that there's just one that would come to mind right now. But I think a nice toolbox, it looks like, and an educational background to diversify his talents in a number of ways based on when he comes back and starts maybe talking to people and some professionals or going back to where he went to school or wherever to start to lay that out. I would have to know more about your son to know more about what direction that might take.
Anita?
I have to agree with what Bob said, but it's really hard to go just on that. If he wanted to stay in, in teaching, so to speak, there are other opportunities outside.
He doesn't want to in teaching as far as children goes, maybe somewhere in corporate education.
But. Right. So that was what I was going to mention is, there's possibilities in, training and development with employers. You know, the larger employers tend to have somebody within their human resource department that is focused on training and development of the staff. And it's, companies want to bring somebody on, but then keep them professionally developed so they stay with the organization.
Mark, thanks a lot for the call. Let's head over to Kathleen in Dutchess County. Hi, Kathleen. You're on.
Hi. Thank you. I'm just calling. I hope this isn't too much off topic for you, but just catching your show. And I have a son who's 25. Who is a recent college graduate. He just doesn't know what he wants to do. And he's just really struggling with just trying to figure out what he wants to do. He had 100 credits towards a degree in entrepreneurial business, and he left, he quit that program. And then he went and continued and finished up got an associate's degree in business. But he's just totally does not have any idea what he wants to do, and I don't think he knows even how to go about trying to figure it out. So do you have any suggestions for him?
This is a common modern problem, yes?
He needs a gap year. No. It's always funny when I hear somebody being in an entrepreneurial program and it has lots of credits to it. That's the last thing an entrepreneur probably wants, right? Is to, go through a lot of education. I think for someone that maybe has a creative mind, is a constant idea person that many times entrepreneurial people are, sometimes that's the curse, right? Because there's so many things you could be involved with or find interest in. A lot of times we call them scanners or people that are just very aware of a lot of different things. And they might be multi-talented and just have a hard time finding that unique one to say, what I'm going to do. And so I would say yes to a lot in certain cases to be actively involved in a lot of different things because sometimes you just have to feel it in order to go forward with it. And I would have that person surround themselves with more people to gain insight from and not try to do it on your own. So, again, going back to the college or some local professionals, adult education, libraries, whoever else, or people in industries that he might slightly be gravitating towards. One thing I might suggest real quick is if he answered the question, what do you read often? Or what TV shows, magazines, websites, where are you always going to kind of, you don't want to miss it and you want to read up more about it.
Interesting.
That probably will indicate an area of interest and further development or learning that person wants. And I would kind of focus in maybe on some of those areas to focus your energy. And then what TV show or movie or book do they love? And many times that's an idea to the stage or the script, really, of their story or their life.
So if it's like Mad Magazine and the Beverly Hillbillies, you're in trouble. Okay. Right.
But, you know, it really, you have to surround with some other people that can give them a different point of view and some direction. And
couldn't volunteering help if you're rudderless at that point?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think volunteering is a great way of getting active and feeling valued.
And if he wants to get involved with the entrepreneurial spirit, there's a lot of organizations in the different communities that are popping up that have, you know, monthly meetings like Google Startups. And so he would be with like individuals.
No, that's an idea, yeah. Let's go back to the phones. And Chris in Rexford. Chris, you're on.
Hi, thanks for letting me be part of the conversation.
Sure.
One of the things that I just wanted to share with an earlier caller, Christine, I think was her name, who said, you know, I want to change jobs now mid-career. And I've had that experience, and I've worked with people that have had that experience, and this is one of the things that I would say. Look back at your own, people who are saying, well, what do I want to do? You know, look back at your own work, find something about it that you liked, and don't focus on your job title. There's many aspects of your job, so you might be surprised at a skill that you really like that was built into what you were doing before. And then my second point is this one, and that'll be the last one, okay. Is that when I went through a job change myself, one of the things that I did is I took a job which wasn't going to be permanent. I didn't know if it would, but I didn't look at it as permanent. And it ended up being like a 2-year stint. From this perspective, it was a way of changing my skills. And this new job was in the field that I wanted to go into. So it really helped me get my feet on the ground. And from there, I could get the job I wanted. So I used that as a stepping stone.
Okay.
Great point, Chris. And one thing to share with that, and I love how you say, think of your skill set or the trait or the characteristic that you find most interesting or valued. And so if you use something like Indeed.com, you can use that as a career development tool. And if you're really good at technical writing, or if it's just, say, interpersonal communication skills, listening, you could put that term in there and search the country. Mm-hmm. And look at all the different types of career or jobs that have those qualifications, or yeah, at least that one of that skill sets. And it really can open your ideas and your eyes to a lot of opportunities that are out there that use transferable skills.
Chris, thank you very much for the call. Over to Joanna in South Hadley. Joanna, you're on.
Hi there. Thanks for this program, and thank you to the panelists, too. I retired about a year ago from Holyoke Community College in Massachusetts, and I wanted the listeners to know that any Massachusetts state resident can visit any of the community or state colleges and use their career centers.
Whether or not you've gone to the college, Joanna?
Exactly. All you have to be is a state resident.
Huh, how about
and that? And all you need is a state ID to get a lending privilege at that library, at that state community or state college. Now, Holyoke Community College, I urge them to get a paid subscription to the Encyclopedia of Professional Associations. It's an online database. And one of your panelists mentioned how great it is, even as a student or a transitional job seeker, to find out where are the professional associations of nurses, accountants, whatever you're seeking to go into,
yeah,
and you call those people up and you volunteer to show up at 6 a.m. at their conference and register people. And they may not give you the free lunch, but you'll get to hear all the speakers. And
no free lunch?
Entree. No free lunch, but you get the free speaker. Final thing is that each state, go to the state website, mass.gov, or whatever your state website is, there's always an employment button. Under that employment button, they will refer you to the job-seeking resources. Some of them even have the links to the ONET database, which has been mentioned.
All right. Joanna,
so thank
thanks
you
a lot.
Again for this wonderful show.
Thanks, Joanna.
Anybody
thank
want
you
to append what we just heard?
There's a website, it's called Weedles Associations, and that lists all of the associations throughout the country.
All right, over to Julie in Sunderland, Massachusetts. Julie, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, and thank you to everyone for all the valuable information.
Thanks.
I wanted to piggyback on the question about LinkedIn and its value, because I'm concerned about putting too much information up, because when I Googled myself several months ago, I found my whole resume on some Chinese website with some other woman's picture on it.
Oh.
And it looks like they've taken my credentials and are selling my copy editing services in some other country.
Yikes. I mean, what do you have to say to that, Bob?
I don't know. You're really popular worldwide now. Anything you put online is fair game, and that's just the way of the world. There's a lot of protections that you can put into your LinkedIn account or Facebook or others, and that may or may not improve your chances to network effectively. But that's just, I think, one of those things where you can protect yourself as much as you can, but you're still gonna. There's always going to be certain possibilities that's going to be used against you. But I do believe that an online presence, a positive online presence, especially if you're a job seeker, is important. It's going to be one of those resources they're going to go to fairly quickly to see your background or connect it, your resume to whatever digital dirt or not you have. And it's a way of verifying some of what's on your resume. So I would still say that you hear 1,000 billion times more positive results than some of the negative ones. But I appreciate, and I think, you know, there's always that small chance of something going
wrong. Yeah, and even as far as what you list on there, people are on both sides. So it's either they list everything that's on their resume, or in my case, I just listed my the organizations that I worked for in my college. That way I have those connections to my previous employers. I have the connections to my alumni. But I want to save conversation for somebody in an interview, so I don't want to put everything out there.
That makes sense. Over to Nancy in Amsterdam. Nancy, you're on.
Hi. I have two questions, actually. One is, I'm self-employed. I've been a self-employed healthcare practitioner for 27 years, and I've been on the hiring end, and I honestly never had good luck knowing what questions to ask in an interview and get what answers to look for and how to pick the right person. I just, you know, feel like I'm flying by the seat of my pants there. I don't know what I'm doing. But beyond that, I also have a question about my own career. I feel like there's more I want to do. Unfortunately, most of my degrees, I have 3 degrees, a BA, a BS, and a DC. And I don't, you know, when I go back to earn more credits, I'm told, well, gee, you earned your credits more than 5 years ago, so you're going to have to repeat all your coursework. This doesn't seem right. Is there a way around that?
As far as any types of certifications, you know, those are things that you would have to keep current. And you know, if you're applying for positions and they're saying that that's something that you need, they're really the way to get around that is to pursue more courses, more certifications. You know, but as far as different types of, I mean, if you were you looking at different types of positions or staying in the same field but just moving to maybe different types of responsibilities?
No, actually, I'm a doctor of chiropractic, and I find that when I look to, well, do I want to move to a different state and relocate, there really aren't that many openings for a doctor of chiropractic, but there's lots and lots and lots of openings for nurse practitioner or PA. And I'm wondering if I couldn't add some coursework. I have anatomy, physiology, chemistry, physics, biochemistry. I have all those things, you know, in spades. But when I want to add to that degree, they tell me, well, you're going to have to go back and repeat that coursework if you want to, you know, turn your degree into another degree like a nurse practitioner. And I probably have as much or more in the coursework, you know, toward those degrees. And I'm just wondering, you know, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to make myself more marketable with an additional degree.
You sound pretty marketable already.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and degrees don't always make you more marketable. And let me explain why. a lot of people continue to try to get higher levels of degree if they're not finding the employment that they want, and they think education is the answer, and it's not necessarily, because you want to have a great blend of both experience as well as training, which no matter if it comes through a accredited degree or a certification or a licensing or whatever. So I think the most important question, Nancy, is what really do you want to do? And to focus all this energy and possibly new funding or expenses to go along with that, and to look at the industry and the marketplace you're looking to do it in, to make sure that all this time and potential extra money is going to be valued in the communities that you wish to work in. So if it's wellness centers or if it's research, I mean, there's so many different ways. Healthcare is such a large industry segment, and one of one of the ones that's booming the most. That you really should be connecting with healthcare professionals to understand where the marketplace is going and how your credentialing might best fit in a transition. So I would try to work with those people.
Well, this was a fun hour. It went pretty fast. Now, Anita, this was your first time. Did it go all right?
It did.
You're not nervous now, right?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
All right. So if people want to get in touch with you, how do they do it?
My email address is anita.brown@esc.edu.
And Bob Frederick?
If they want to give me a call, it's at area code 518-381-1368, and my email address is frederrg@suny.edu.
It's a long email address.
It is.
Support comes from Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York, sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche, QFCC.com. Unusual Wedding Rings and More, 137 North Street, downtown Pittsfield, announcing their retirement on August 1st. Specializing in wedding and engagement rings, jewelry for special occasions and everyday wear, unusualweddingrings.com. Curtis Lumber, specializing in deck and dock design, featuring Trex composite decking and railings, pressure-treated wood and more, design consultation available, curtislumber.com. And the Discovery Center, presenting Karner Station, an exhibit exploring the world of the endangered Karner blue butterfly, showing how it was discovered and how to protect it, albanypinebush.org. Thanks again to Bob Frederick and Anita DeCiani Brown for joining us today. Thanks to Zach, the incredible engineer, or certainly B-plus engineer. And thanks to Stefan Lambeau-Stolbo. Who the heck is... He answered our phones. I've never heard of him. Jessica Blaustein-Marshall is our producer. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, The Car Show.